is it.
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome into this Monday edition of the flagship. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Joining me as he does each and every Monday. Bit of sabbatical last week. We'll get into why Grayson was not here with us, but Grayson Weir will join us here momentarily. Let's pay some bills first, as this show is brought to you each and every day by our good friends at College Corner, title sponsor of the flagship. Three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. You can check them out. The new spot in Oxford, Sisk Avenue, 4,000 plus square feet. Scott and the folks take care of us, and they will take care of you. They've got everything you need, Ole Miss merch-wise. They've got Realtree gear. And look, school's back for most everybody. My kids are back. That means that college football is just around the corner. We will have college football at the end of this month. Ole Miss starts in September, that first weekend. But, hey, if you need to get those tailgating supplies re-upped, you need to maybe up your game, get some new things for the tent, for the Grove. College Corner can help you out with that as well. Like I said, three locations. And if you can't get to any of those three locations, you can go check them out, collegecornerstore.com. Podcast also brought to you by our good friends at Roback. Go check them out. Polos are fantastic. I love them. Collar stays put, not flimsy. It's always going to be there right on the collar, right on the neck. It's going to look crisp. And they've also got the lightweight hoodies. You'll need that for when the weather turns a little bit. It's a little chilly. It's nice. It's lightweight. It's super breathable. It's not going to be too thick on you. And, you know, it's still pretty fashionable. It still looks pretty good. Speaking of fashionable, the shorts are fantastic. They look great. They feel great. And you can also wear those if you want to be a little business casual. They look like really nice khaki shorts, but honestly, they kind of fit and feel like some gym shorts. Super lightweight, breathable again for those humid days and nights. And if you go to roback.com and check out what they have to offer, make sure before you hit checkout, you use promo code JUICE for 20% off. All right, without further ado, let's bring in Grayson. As look, we had to do some shuffling last week. A lot going on, and yeah, you had quite a bit going on your end too.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's just life stuff, but then I swear every time that we get a storm here in Nashville, my power goes out for at least 12 hours. So, I've just been picking up the pieces. Had a possum in the backyard, all kinds of stuff going on. Just, you know, housekeeping stuff before football season comes.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, always something, as they say. It's never easy. Speaking of never easy, look, ESPN tasked themselves with trying to compile a list. Look, this is what you do in the offseason. You make lists. You come up with things to create Discord, create you know, some conversations at the water cooler, in the group text, and on podcasts. So let's get into it. Last week, put out a top 10 list of college football players since 2000. I got a lot of issues and questions here with this list. If you're not familiar, I'll run through it here, and then Grayson and I will dissect it. And then look, I think Ole Miss has at least one or two potential gripes here for top 10. Now, again, I'll preface this. Top 10 college football players for the last 24 years is incredibly difficult. There have been a lot of really good players, but here is the list per ESPN. Number one, Ndamukong Suh. Number two, Baker Mayfield. Number three, Cam Newton. Number four, Vince Young. Number five, Ed Reed. Number six, Tim Tebow. Number seven, Reggie Bush. Number eight, Bryant McKinney. Number nine, Joe Burrow. And number 10, Larry Fitzgerald. All right. First thing that jumps out to me, and this is just my opinion, I think if you're doing any list of top college football players, regardless of the parameters, I find it very difficult to not put Cam Newton number one. I think the just overall impact that he had on that Auburn team, that program, that season. It was just 1 year. I know that maybe that could be a potential knock on him. But look, it just says top 10 players. That Auburn team probably goes 4-8 without Cam Newton, maybe 5-7. That single-handedly beat Alabama by himself. I remember watching the game. It was something like Auburn was down like 17-3 in the first half or something like that. I can't remember. I can effort real quick. But that game alone was literally just Auburn lining up and just Cam Newton saying, okay, I'm going to run right here and you're not going to stop me. It was 24-7 at halftime, and Auburn came back and won 28-27, scored 14 in the third. Cam Newton threw for 216 and three touchdowns. He also ran for 39 yards and a touchdown. That was an Alabama team that had a very good, steady quarterback in Greg McElroy, who threw for almost four Bills in that game. Mark Ingram, Trent Richardson, two stud running backs. Julio Jones was on that team.
Yeah, pretty good team.
And Auburn and Cam Newton beat him by himself. That's where I start. I think Cam Newton's number one. I don't have too much of an issue with Sue being up top. I mean, you want to talk about dominant. The guy was just an absolute freak. The impact he had. I mean, we're talking about that's – I don't know. What's your kind of grade here? I look at, like, impact and then statistics. That's kind of my – thing for these kind of lists.
I think that's a good approach to it. And that's why I'm okay with Sue being number one as well. He absolutely 100% should have won the Heisman that year. I know we don't give it to, you know, defensive players or whatever, but like it's Ndamukong Suh should have won the Heisman in 2009.
He had 85 tackles, 12 sacks, 28 hurries, 20 and a half tackles for loss, 10 pass breakups, 3 blocked kicks, and an interception. In the 13-12 loss to the Texas Longhorns in the Big 12 title game, he had 12 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, which was a single game record. I believe it still stands at the time for Nebraska. He had 4.5 sacks in that game as well. That Nebraska defense was first nationally in scoring defense. They were tied for second in sacks. And, first in pass efficiency defense, largely because of Sue and what he did to the interior. I have no issue with him being top three. Here's where my big issue is. Why is Baker Mayfield number two?
It makes no sense to me.
Great quarterback, Heisman winner, really good program at Oklahoma. He's not number two. If you're going to go quarterback after Cam Newton, I think you have to go Vince Young.
Yeah, I would agree. Or Tebow. I mean, I think if I was doing this list, Cam Newton, Tim Tebow, Vince Young, Baker Mayfield in terms of quarterbacks.
Sure. And I kind of contradict myself here a little bit with, like, looking at impact and statistics. Tebow no doubt had an impact on college football and that Florida program. I don't know. For some reason, he doesn't do it for me in terms of like flash and top 10. I think he's top 10, but I don't think he's top five. Let me find my list that I put together. Just like quick, like shooting from the hip. This was the list that I put together after this came out and just kind of piecing everything together. I said Cam Newton 1, Sue 2, Reggie Bush 3. Then after that, I'd probably go Vince Young. Then I would go give me your kind of list, and I'll try to find mine because I can't find it. Let me
I'm cool with Sue being one. I'm like totally okay with that. He really should have won
that in 2009.
So I'll go Sue, Cam Newton, Reggie Bush, Tim Tebow, Vince Young, Ed Reed, then Joe Burrow, then Baker.
Yeah, I don't hate Burrow being top 10 at all.
Then Larry Fitzgerald. And then, I mean, we'll get into it in a second here, but there's two snubs, especially once you get into the top 25 on this list. Ole Miss was snubbed not just once, but twice on both sides of the ball.
I agree for sure. And this goes back to my point about impact. Talking about Cam Newton and that Auburn team and how mediocre it would be without him. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss without Eli Manning in 2003 is a terrible team.
Yeah.
With all due respect to everybody on that Ole Miss team and the skill guys, they were not elite skill guys whatsoever. When you look at other programs like a Tim Tebow, what he had to throw to at Florida, Joe Burrow, what he had to throw to at LSU, Baker Mayfield had some studs to throw to. I mean, what Eli Manning did, a couple missed field goals, a stumble out of a snap away from getting to the SEC championship game and probably winning the SEC championship game for the first time in Ole Miss history, or I guess in Atlanta. I mean, the numbers that Eli Manning has done alone, I'm pretty sure his numbers still stand for pretty much every category. Still has the most passing yards for a career in Ole Miss history. That's more than Bo Wallace. That's more than Matt Corral. That's more than Chad Kelly. Now, Chad Kelly only played 2 years. Eli played four. Bo Wallace only played three, but that was a Bo Wallace quarterback in an era where Ole Miss was throwing the hell out of the ball. Matt Corral was at Ole Miss for 4 years, still has more than Matt Corral, more than Romero Miller. Kent Austin had 5 years and still has more. Now it's a different era. But, I mean, over 10,000 passing yards for a career.
It's ridiculous.
Only beat out by Jordan Tiamu and Chad Kelly for single season passing yards. But, passing touchdowns. He has 84 passing touchdowns. Running a David Cutcliffe, pro-style, very monotonous offense, still has 84 touchdowns. He had 31 in one season, 6 in one game. He's second in total offense behind Bo Wallace. Bo Wallace got him with the legs. He ran a lot more athletic. But just the sheer numbers that he put up on an Ole Miss team that was not very good. Because, again, I still think if there's no Eli Manning on that 2003 team, nowhere near a 10-win team.
Yeah.
Probably 5-6 wins. It's an Ole Miss podcast, so we got to find an angle somewhere. But, I mean, I don't think this is too much of a reach. I think Eli Manning has a definite gripe for at least top 15. You mentioned on the other side of the football, you're alluding to Patrick Willis. I mean, the guy was just enshrined into the NFL, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dude was just incredible in college. Just a absolute psycho out there. Clips of him running down Darren McFadden, who Darren McFadden could have a gripe for top 10, top 15 player in the last 24 years. The guy was all world at Ole Miss. It's crazy that, I mean, I think it's always funny to go back and look, it's all hindsight, but the fact that David Cutcliffe didn't play him earlier on defense is crazy. Yeah. He did a lot of it with one hand, had a club on the hand for most of a season. Just a phenomenal player. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't think it's going to bother Patrick that he's not on this top 10 list. But, yeah, it's an Ole Miss podcast, so we have to do some kind of Ole Miss tie-in. I think those are two that have a legitimate gripe for top 10, top 15 players in the last 24 years.
Yeah, my issue with this list in particular when it comes to Patrick Willis is it's got Khalil Mack at number 13. And don't get me wrong, Khalil Mack was awesome. And the fact that he ended up at Buffalo, like, really was not fair to the rest of the Mid-American Conference. You know, he only played the 1 year of high school ball, and so he was under-recruited and ended up in Buffalo, which, like, that terrible program. And, you know, first-team All-American, best linebacker that year, defensive player of the year in the MAC Conference, first-team All-American, you know, all of these honors, well-deserved, one of the best careers really in recent history by a linebacker. But when you look at Khalil Mack's stats compared to Patrick Willis's stats, it's like, wait a minute here. Let's really break this down. Like you said, it took Cutcliffe a while to get Patrick Willis in there. But in the 2 years that Patrick Willis was a starting linebacker on the Ole Miss defense in the SEC, mind you, only 22 games because he played only 10 games as a junior, I think because of an injury. I can't remember exactly why, but he only played 10 games as a junior than the full 12-game season as a senior. So these numbers are even probably less than what they would be if he had played the full 2 years. Patrick Willis had 128 total tackles as a junior, 137 total tackles as a senior. That's ridiculous. And when you look at Khalil Mack, he never exceeded 100 total tackles in the MAC. It's not the SEC, it's the MAC. And mind you, again, like I said, amazing career. Khalil Mack, one of the best, you know, to ever do it, certainly on the mid-major P4, P5, or G5, G6 level. But come on, like, what are we doing? If we're going to talk about individual impact, sure, you can look holistically. Khalil Mack had more tackles over the course of his career because he played all 4 years. But if that's the case, then what are we doing with Joe Burrow and Cam Newton, who really only played 1 year respectively, you know, only had their one big season at Auburn and one big season at LSU. So if we're doing this list based off of, you know, strictly impact on a short-term, you know, timeline, then the fact that Patrick Willis isn't on here is absurd. Certainly not, you know, if not the top 10, fine. Like, I understand you probably give that to some of the offensive players. You know, there's Ed Reed is one of the best safeties, if not the best safety in college football history. But, like, come on, what are we doing here? You got Will Anderson Jr. on here. He was great. He comes in here at number 22. Really good linebacker. Patrick Willis was better. So, yeah. I think that's my bigger gripe. I think Eli definitely probably deserves to be on here somewhere. But I'm fine if you want to make the case that Eli wasn't a top 25 player of the 2000s. Fine. I don't agree necessarily, but fine. Patrick Willis, like, come on. What are we doing here? I don't know how you can put, you know, Will Anderson Jr. and Khalil Mack on here, but then not include Patrick Willis. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. And then keeping the Ole Miss theme here, I mean, putting Bryant McKinney inside the top 10, offensive lineman inside top 10, top 15 is a little bit of a stretch. It was eighth in the Heisman voting as an offensive lineman, which is wild. But look, man, you got to talk about Laramie Tunsil.
You shouldn't play as much.
To close the book on Willis, two-time first-team All-SEC, two-time All-American, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, Butkus, Jack Lambert, Connerly, and College Football Hall of Fame, now Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, the dude was absurd. Tunsil, the knock is probably didn't play a lot, whatever. When he was in the game, you talk about impact. Alabama just quit blitzing in the 2014 game. I'm pretty sure there's a quote somewhere where Saban was like, we just stopped because we couldn't get by him. Completely neutralized Myles Garrett. We talk about this a lot with our buddies Ben Woodhouse, Nicholas Carr, Austin Gray, the Legal Gambling Council. We've talked about it over the years. I only saw Laramie Tunsil get beat twice.
Yeah.
And it was Carl Lawson. That was it.
That was it.
Just a freak. A guy that would regularly embarrass people in practice. Our buddy Ben Still has shown me videos of practice footage of NFL players going, like Marquise Haynes, guys in practice trying to get, and it's just, there's no getting around him. Just the fact that he was able to just force the best coach in college football history, who is a defensive guy, to just stop trying to figure it out, is insane to me.
Speaks wonders.
Look, offensive lineman inside the top 10, that's a stretch in my opinion. I think that's weird. I don't think you can really do it. But Tunsil legitimately has a gripe to be in the conversation when you're talking all-time greats at offensive lineman. Joe Thomas is on here at number 12 from Wisconsin. Who are some of the names that jump out to you that were left out of the top 10? I love that Larry Fitzgerald made it at 10. You want to talk about impact? I mean, that guy was right there next to Eli Manning at the Downtown Athletic Club for the Heisman. I think either Larry or Eli should have won it that year. Jason White winning it was dumb, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald was incredible in college. Probably one of the better receivers in NFL history. That 03 year was pretty nuts for him. Won the Biletnikoff, Heisman runner-up. And, again, go back to impact. That Pittsburgh team is probably not very good without Larry Fitzgerald.
No, it wouldn't be good without him at all. He carried that offense.
In terms
scoring,
of
– I think he scored – I'm pretty sure Larry Fitzgerald scored a touchdown in like, all 12 games, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, especially when you're the only guy on that team.
Yeah, here it is. Scored at least one touchdown in 12 straight games, 18 straight games, including the season prior. So, like, literally – not only did he lead the nation in touchdowns from scrimmage, that offense probably would not have scored without him.
Led the Big East, 92 catches, 1,672 yards, and an NCAA leading 22 touchdowns.
Bananas.
Absolutely worthy of being in the top 10. A couple snubs out of the top 10. I think Lamar Jackson has a gripe. You talk about impact. Wasn't multiple years, but won the Heisman. I mean, just embarrassed Florida State on national TV. Looking at wide receiver, Justin Blackmon at Oklahoma State, in my opinion, was a freak. That was a dude that changed games.
What a bust.
Michael Crabtree. I mean, what would that guy have done without the nagging ankle injury?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's a play where, I mean, I remember exactly where I was when he caught that ball against Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is absolutely somebody to snub. He was just in the cutoff at 2000, but LaDainian Tomlinson, just a monster. Christian McCaffrey, you could make a case for Christian McCaffrey and the impact he had. I mean,
I guess that's true. I think C-Mac's probably my biggest gripe there. Certainly the top 25. Like, how do we not talk about somebody who, you know, changed college football forever? Like, that guy made Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah.
He single-handedly, like, that swung the Stanford program. You know, it changed that year.
Because that was, you know, David Shaw had it rolling with Andrew Luck. And then they had Toby Gerhart was a stud. Heisman finalist. But then there was a kind of a lull, and then Christian McCaffrey all of a sudden comes out of nowhere, and drag Stanford to the Rose Bowl, and then just by himself obliterated a really good Iowa team.
Yep.
It's hard to make a list of 10 players for 24 years. I think ESPN did a solid job getting most of it right, but yeah, I do have some issues there.
Talking season. That's what this is all about.
So this is what you got to do, man. You just got to come up with stuff. And I have some issues, but I think out of the top 10 that ESPN put out, I think Sue, Cam, Vince Young, Reggie Bush, Joe Burrow, Larry Fitzgerald, Ed Reed, Tim Tebow, all worthy of being in there. So, all right, before we get to our next segment, I do want to remind you, show is also brought to you by our good friends at USA Benefits Group, Drew Moak, and the folks over there are helping you with all of your health insurance needs. They're helping you cut those premiums by 20 to 30%. If you're aging into that Medicare, you need a Medicare supplement plan, he can help you out. Give him a call, 601-953-8449. He's located in Mississippi. He's also licensed in 7 states. He works with the nation's second largest insurance brokerage, and he's got access to 35 carriers. So he can help you with everything from regular health plans to life insurance to dental, vision, Medicare. He's got it all covered. And if you give him a call today or check out usabg.com/DMOAK, you can get your free quote. So pretty big stuff there. Podcast is also brought to you by our good friends at Home Field Apparel. They are back for another football season as a proud sponsor of the show. And look, I mentioned college football. It's right there. We can see it, light at the end of the tunnel. Home Field is launching their 2024 Can't Miss Kickoff campaign on August 9th. You want to go ahead and put some reminders in your phone, set an alarm, because things are going to move quickly. They have a brand new MVP VIP box that will be coming out for certain schools. They've got 216 new products, so curated for you, the fan, never before seen items that will come in your box. That will be on August 9th. You want to make sure you get in before they sell out. That next week, you'll have Champs Week. They'll be honoring 5 all-time great teams, and they'll have new roster additions on August 19th. There'll be some new schools added to the roster. And then on August 26th and then August 30th, they will have new bomber jackets and new coaches jackets. I do know Ole Miss will be getting a new coaches jacket. So there'll be some new items in these boxes. Ole Miss will be in that list. So you're going to want to make sure to put a reminder on your phone, on your calendar, to make sure you get one. And when you do, if you use promo code LASTDANCE24, you get 15% off your first purchase. So that's Home Field Apparel. That's homefieldapparel.com. Go check them out. I'm a big fan. I know lots of people are. I'm wearing a Washington shirt right now. Not a Washington fan. Just love what they do. Everything is super comfortable. I buy random school shirts all the time just because it feels great, the fit's great, and you know, who doesn't love wearing a, you know, national champ shirt from 1991 for the Washington Huskies. So all right, so turning the page here, I wanted to get in, we got another list we got to talk about, but we're kind of picking on ESPN today, but whatever, the worldwide leader will be all right. Heather Dinich and I think a couple other people at ESPN put together this list using the ESPN's Football Power Index, which, you know, grain of salt and all that good stuff. FPI is weird. It's not exactly rocket science or, you know, something to live by, but best chances of making the playoff and then what the national title chances are. Number one, I don't think anybody has any issue with this, Georgia. 79.1% chance to make the playoff. It's 21% chance to win it all. No issue. Oregon, 76% chance at number 2, 12.8 to win it all. Sure. No, I don't really have a huge issue there. You add Dylan Gabriel. 12-2 a year ago. I don't have a lot of gripes there. Myself included, I think a lot of people, speaking of the Huskies, I had Oregon winning the Pac-12 title game and getting to the playoff. Washington got it done. I don't hate Oregon at 2. Do you have any issue there?
I just wonder if they're going to be able to handle a Big Ten schedule. That's my only question with all of these former Pac-12 teams is how do they perform when they get stuck on the road at, you know, Kinnick Stadium or have to travel 8 hours to Rutgers for a Thursday night game in 42 degree weather with a slight drizzle.
Yeah. They do get Ohio State at home in October.
Yeah, which helps.
A big one. But yeah, I mean, if you can navigate the schedule, I think road wins in the Big Ten, the committee's going to like that. Big chances at and Ann Arbor against Michigan and Camp Randall against Wisconsin. So those are big opportunities for Oregon. Number three, you've got Texas, 67.8%, 11.4 to win the title. I don't have too much of an issue there. Ohio State at four.
I don't think Texas is going to be as good as last year. I mean, they have, you know, the veteran offensive line. They have arguably the best quarterback in the country coming back. You know, that everyone's going to tout Ewers, whatever. But, like, they lost a lot of their skill guys. I don't know if you can replace the speed on the outside and whether that's, you know, allows you to continue. And then they also have like a pretty subpar pass defense. That was the case last year, and that'll be the case again this year.
The College Corner is headed to Oxford. Stop by their new location in the Oxford Commons off Sisk Avenue. They'll have 4,000 square feet of Rebel gear ready for your trip to the Grove. On your next trip to Oxford, stop by the College Corner or our other great locations in Ridgeland and Flowood. Hats, shirts, polos, pullovers, sweats, t-shirts. College Corner has it all. And as always, you can visit us online at collegecornerstore.com. That's collegecornerstore.com. The College Corner, where your game day apparel meets.
Call Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group. He can help you with any of your health insurance needs. Drew is an Ole Miss grad located in Mississippi and licensed in 7 states. He works with the nation's second largest health insurance brokerage with access to 35 different carriers, regular health plans, to life insurance, to dental and vision, and even Medicare. He has it all covered. Now more than ever, it is critical to have a health insurance agent who is local and accessible. So call Drew Moak at 601-953-8449. 601-953-8449 and get your free quote today.
Pretty much every dog lover knows our sweet pups are absolutely a member of the family. I know my Rosie sure is. And you wouldn't feed your spouse or partner or your kids just any old thing. What they're putting in their bodies matters. And it's not any different for man's best friend. And that's where Superfood Complete from Badlands Ranch comes in. Actor Katherine Heigl came up with Superfood Complete as the best way to make sure your dog gets all the nutrients and superfoods vital to their health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason DeBus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. My Rosie recently started on her Badlands Superfood diet, and let me tell you, we're never going back. It's fast and easy to prepare and serve, but even more, it's delicious, apparently. I haven't tried it myself, of course, but she can't seem to get enough. We've already ordered more. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/TOC. That's BadlandsRanch.com/TOC. And order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/TOC today. You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show? Or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? Because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry. Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Yeah, A.D. Mitchell's gone. Xavier Worthy's gone. I think my big thing will be, you know, the run game. That's going to be big. That's going to be big for me. Everybody knows about Ewers and how good he is, and for good reason. He's earned it. I think he is a legitimate Heisman candidate, but you know, Bijan Robinson's gone. So being able to lean on a run game is going to be big when people are going to, you know, can you take advantage of those light boxes? And look, they've got some good running backs. I don't think there's any question there. CJ Baxter, Jaden Blue, they've got some really talented dudes that are probably going to be just fine, but still got to see it. Looks good on paper, how it look on Saturdays. I don't have a huge issue there. Ohio State at 4, fine with that. The quarterback situation is interesting, but it's incredibly talented team. The defense is probably one of the more talented defenses ever in the history of Ohio State, which is saying something. All right, here's where it gets kind of dumb. Why is Penn State at 5? Like,
I don't know.
No idea.
Everyone's so high on Drew Aller, but we've seen what Drew Aller does. So,
Pete Golding saw that equation pretty quickly in the Peach Bowl. The biggest game is Ohio State. It's going to be in Happy Valley, but does that matter? Penn State's 1-7 against Ohio State since 2007 at home. I don't like that. Keeping the theme going, Notre Dame at 6. Is Riley Leonard really that good? We'll see. Good at Duke, but open the season against A&M, that's going to be – you're going to find out pretty quick.
Yeah.
In College Station. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan there. Alabama at 7, whatever. I think DeBoer's great. I think he's going to do well at Alabama. You've got Jalen Milroe back, which if you've played NCAA 25, you know that Jalen Milroe is basically just Michael Vick from Madden on that game. It's impossible. Missouri at 8 seems like a stretch. Yeah. I think Missouri's going to be good, but are they that high up the list?
I mean, they got a pretty decent pretty easy schedule, and Luther Burden Jr. The third is awesome. Brady Cook was pretty good. Their defense should be pretty solid again, but that's another situation where they lost a lot of guys, you know, to the draft last year. That defense is not going to look the same as it was last year. So I don't know.
It's very, the schedule is nice. Missouri doesn't play Texas, Ole Miss, or Georgia, which is probably the three best teams in the SEC. Alabama, you could lump them in there as the top 4. Missouri has to play Alabama. That's October 26 in Tuscaloosa. Find out a lot there. Tennessee at 9. What are we doing? Why?
For what reason? Who? I mean, everyone's so high on Nico, but it's like, what has Nico done yet? Nothing.
He played against a bad Iowa team in a bowl game and was pretty good. I think Nico's going to be good. I think the hype is for good reason. He's a super talented dude. That's asking a lot from a guy that's never started in the SEC. I think that's way too high. Oklahoma at 10, same reason. Jackson Arnold, first-year starter, true sophomore. That's a lot to ask out of a guy.
I don't think Oklahoma is going to be as good as people think at all.
I don't think so. I think they'll be fine. I don't think they're going to be bad. I'm not saying it's going to be a 7-5 Oklahoma team, but I don't think they're going to be top 10 in terms of getting to the playoff. Florida State at 11, you're putting a lot of stock into DJ Uiagalelei,
who was not very good at Oregon State or Clemson.
Yeah, I think I thought Oregon State and like Jonathan Smith, I thought that system was perfect for him.
It was.
I agree. The numbers weren't awesome, but I think he was really good for Oregon State. I thought that system – I think last year, in terms of NFL scouts and, like, how he projects in the NFL, I thought that was good for him.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, kind of an NFL style. I know the NFL is slowly getting to the hurry-up, no-huddle and spread concepts, but there are still a lot of people that run a lot of pro sets, and Jonathan Smith does that. And I thought that helped DJ. I don't know if – talk about losing a lot and replacing a lot. Florida State, lost everything.
Yeah, everybody on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, so Michigan at 12. I mean, who knows what's going to happen to Michigan with all this NCAA stuff with, you know, Sharon Moore deleting 52 text messages. I don't know about you, Grayson, but I delete text messages all the time when I have nothing to hide. So I'm sure there's nothing to see there.
Yeah.
Michigan will be, they'll be talented.
They'll be good. Donovan Edwards is good. Alex Orji's so fast.
Ohio State, big one, November 30th. That'll be in Columbus. It's going to be – the schedule is made for Michigan to make a statement.
Yep. It's got to beat Oregon, Ohio State, or Texas, or probably two of the three.
Yeah, you got Texas, SC, Washington, Oregon, and Ohio State. So there's a chance. If Michigan can navigate that, then yeah, absolutely. Clemson at 13. Again, why? I think Klubnik's been very underwhelming. I think it's very apparent that Dabo Swinney was propped up by his coordinators for so long. Now, generational talents at quarterback will help too. But, I think losing Brett Venables, Jeff Scott is back now. We'll see how big of an impact that has for the offense. But, Klubnik's been a little bit of a letdown. I mean, he's still kind of young, so we'll see how he looks this year. But for Clemson, you get two chances at an SEC team. You get Georgia and South Carolina, so there's your opportunity there to make a statement. LSU at 14, don't love it. 10-3 a year ago, but that was because you had the best player in college football and two of the best wide receivers in the country. A lot to like up front with the offensive line. Will Campbell, the rest of that group is really good. But I have questions.
You too.
Is Garrett Nussmeier going to be good enough to get you to the playoff? Who's your running back? Logan Diggs is now playing for Ole Miss. I mentioned, you know, Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers are gone to the NFL. They did nothing to fix the defense. They're apparently still playing Harold Perkins in the wrong spot. You've got your chance against Ole Miss at home, which will probably be an undefeated Ole Miss. You go to A&M on the road. I don't know how good A&M will be, but it's a road game. You win a road game in the SEC, that helps. I don't know. I'm not super high on LSU like everybody else.
No, me neither. And it's interesting, though, they have both USC and UCLA in September. So that's a really interesting, like, because neither USC nor UCLA are probably going to be very good this year. I mean, USC probably better than UCLA. But I don't think either team is going to be, you know, special. So if you drop one of those games early, not a great testament to how the rest of the season is going to play out.
No. Yeah. I agree. Kansas at 15. Come on. Jalen Daniels, stud. Don't think Kansas is better than Ole Miss.
They could win the Big 12.
Yeah, I think Kansas State's going to win the Big 12.
I like Kansas State, too, over Kansas.
Avery Johnson's a stud. I mean, pretty much forced the other guy to transfer.
Yeah.
Arizona at home, Oklahoma State at home. Two conference opponents, probably going to be ranked. There's your chance.
Got to really do it.
Back-to-back road games at Colorado, West Virginia. Winnable. Very winnable, in my opinion. But, yeah. Last but not least, or maybe least, A&M at 17 right before Ole Miss. No.
I don't understand this one at all. Don't get me wrong, right? Like, I think Mike Elko and Colin Klein were both great hires. I think Mike Elko is a really good coach, and I think this A&M team is going to be very good under Mike Elko, whether that be 2 years or 10 years from now. I think Colin Klein is a fantastic hire. I mean, I think he's going to be a really good offensive coordinator for a program that has been really stagnant on that side of the ball for as long as I can really remember now. I mean, really since – I can't remember A&M having the insanely explosive offense by any means since Manziel, really. Colin Klein's going to change that. I think this team is going to have a good offense. And then you've got your head coach, who is a star defensive coordinator. I think it's a really good pairing. I think it's really a recipe for success down the road. But down the road is not this year. I don't see Texas A&M doing it this year. Do I think that they are going to beat Notre Dame week one at home? I think so. I think you go in there, you punch Notre Dame in the mouth, you're at home, you've got the crowd behind you, you've got all the preseason hype, you've got a new coach. That place is going to be rocking. You take down, you know, a Notre Dame team, you're probably in the top 25, you know, right away. Things are looking great. But then you go and have, you, I mean, their heart, one of their, quote, you know, easiest road games, like they play at Florida, Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Auburn. Those are probably four games you should win. But then you turn around and your home slate is brutal. You've got, you know, Notre Dame is a tough test right off the bat, but I do think they're going to win that game. Then you've got Texas at home. You've got a really good SEC gauntlet. I just don't see Texas A&M taking that step right now. They were 7-6 last year. Connor Wiegman, good, you know, five-star guy. I don't know if he's going to take him to the next level by any means. When you look at his numbers, you can point to his numbers and say they're pretty good, but he didn't play anybody. I don't agree with A&M even sniffing the top 25 until they beat Notre Dame week one.
Yeah. Yeah. Ole Miss, like I said, at number 18, 20.7% chance to make the playoff. I think that's pretty low.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. I think it's, I mean, we've talked about this before. Like it's a disappointment if they don't make the playoff.
Yeah. I mean, right now Ole Miss has plus or like great odds to make. That's a phone. Yeah. All right. Go in there, bud. Yeah. I think my son's trying to call ESPN to figure out why. I mean, the odds, I mean, it's what, minus odds to get to the playoff, to make the playoff. I think that's,
yeah.
I mean, crazy. I think 10-2, like, I think that's easily attainable for Ole Miss, which is weird to say.
10-2 should be the floor this year. We've talked about this before. Yeah. Like, two losses is the floor. Anything more than two losses is like a serious problem. This team should not lose more than two games. One, perhaps the Georgia, and then maybe one more.
Yeah, I mean, that's toughest test easily. It's November 9th against Georgia. Probably a good shot at both teams being undefeated. That'll be the epicenter of college football that day, if that's the case. LSU on the road, another tough game. I think Georgia's whatever. That's a toss-up, free shot, whatever you want to call it. Beat LSU on the road, handle business against Oklahoma at home, and then don't stumble anywhere else. I think that right there is good enough. More than good enough to get into the playoff, no doubt.
I think a loss at LSU and a loss to Georgia at home, you're still in the playoff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's weird. I think that some of the media, I'm not going to say all, because, look, I was on WJOX with Greg McElroy and Cole Kublik last week, and they asked me what I thought. And I said 10-2, 11-1 is not crazy, and neither one of them batted an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys watch a lot of football. They watch a lot of SEC football. They know football. And that's pretty wild if you're saying that Ole Miss is going to go 10-2 or 11-1, and they're just like, yeah, pretty much. It's whatever. I mean, again, it's off-season fodder for people like us to discuss. So not a huge deal. Flipping the page here, a huge deal, in my opinion, and I think that you are going to absolutely agree. Ole Miss landed Micah Davis from Utah State, was a running back at Air Force, then went to Utah State, was a wide receiver there, return specialist. I think that's the big thing here. A guy that has – experience returning kicks, returning punts, huge for Ole Miss, because now Jordan Watkins can sit on the bench and relax. You don't have to ask him to go back there and do that. I think that's big.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's the big win here. Sure, you're adding some depth to the receiver room, but like that receiver room is already so deep. It'll be nice to have, you know, when you look at the stats, he was the third leading receiver for Utah State last year on a Utah State team that threw the ball a lot, you know, 36 catches for 628 yards and 6 touchdowns is a pretty good line. And for him to be third on the team behind Jalen Royals, who's awesome, and then Terrell Vaughn, who's pretty good. Like that's a solid place to be. So it's nice that you're adding him to the receiver room. He provides a nice kind of, I guess, depth piece in case things go wrong, really like in the slot and kind of over the middle. He serves kind of the same purpose as a Jordan Watkins. But obviously you want to play Jordan Watkins over him. And then, like you said, though, the big thing is now you have a kick return guy you can put back there. You know who you can trust. You can be confident in for not only like getting the ball, but God forbid he was to get injured. Like it's not going to end your season. That's big.
Well, and we've talked about it on this show. I think Lane Kiffin is very clearly recruiting and building a roster for a team that's going to probably play 14, 15, maybe 16 games.
Yeah, at least.
So not an issue. I have zero issue with adding more talent to a room that is already loaded. But, yeah, I mean, it's just going to keep people fresh. It's just going to allow Jordan Watkins to take a breather. It's going to allow Juice Wells to grab a swig of water, and you can throw a guy out there that has played 4 years of ball and knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it's a good add. You can't complain about adding more talent, like you said.
Yeah. Speaking of adding more talent, Deion Smith, officially now at Ole Miss, enrolled probably on the practice field today. Long winding road for the former blue chip from Mississippi. Went to LSU, went to EMCC briefly, then ended up at Holmes and just obliterated everybody in JUCO ball. He is now at Ole Miss, just another deep threat, another guy to spread the field and to help this offense be what everybody thinks it can be. So yeah, Deion Smith, Micah Davis, two huge additions to the wide receiver room.
And while we're talking about this, we're breaking down the ESPN FPI, you know, nonsensical ratings there. More logical, as we're speaking, the preseason coaches poll just dropped. They've got Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Oregon 3, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss comes in at number 6. So to have the number 6 team in the country in the preseason coaches poll be the number 16 team, or what is it, 18th team, to potentially get into the playoff on ESPN's FBI ratings. That math isn't mathing. So real quick here, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Michigan, Penn State, Florida is your top 10. Then you've got Missouri, LSU, Utah, Clemson, Tennessee.
Florida State at 10, not Florida.
Oh, just, yeah, Florida State. Excuse me. Yeah. Oh, my God. Then Missouri, LSU, Utah, Clemson, Tennessee is 15. 10 through 15, 11 through 15, Oklahoma, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Miami, Texas A&M, Arizona, blah, 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 whatever, it continues. But you got Ole Miss at number 6 in the coaches poll, and then you've got them not even in the top 15 in terms of teams that can make the playoff. How does that make sense? It doesn't.
Yep. Yeah. Look, 6, perfectly fine. I think that's a good spot for Ole Miss. I have no issue. And looking at the list, it's crazy to look at what Lane Kiffin has done in 5 years and where Ole Miss is. Yeah. You're in the same conversation as Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama. Pretty Notre Dame's below you. Michigan's below you. Penn State, Florida State. That's where you want to be if you're Ole Miss. That's where you anticipated being when you hired Lane Kiffin. That's, you know, job, as Kobe Bryant would say, RIP, you know, job's not done. But this is why Keith Carter hired Lane Kiffin. This is why you went and got him, is to do that, to be in a situation like this where we're having this conversation, we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, and he's done it.
Yeah, huge. All right, that'll do it for this this edition of the Flagship. It was a little bit of a long one. We had a lot to cover, but we appreciate everybody tuning in. We appreciate College Corner, Roback, Home Field Apparel, USA Benefits Group, everybody, and the rest of the sponsors that bring this show to you. Couldn't do it without them. Couldn't do it without you, the listener, the watcher on YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube. The channel's growing. We appreciate all the support. And, yeah, we will have more coverage of fall camp and more recruiting, as I anticipate. It's August is dead throughout the entire month, but I still anticipate Ole Miss to make some moves in the 25 class. We'll have that coverage at omspirit.com as Ole Miss grabbed a recommitment over the weekend. If you missed it, you can read all about Dylan Alfred at OM Spirit. I talked to our good buddy Charles Power, the director of scouting and rankings at On3, and then also talked with former Ole Miss and NFL wide receiver Mike Espy, who coaches Dylan Alfred. I talked to him. He gives his scouting report lowdown on what kind of player Dylan Alfred is. So you can find all that at omspirit.com. If you're not a member, go ahead and make the jump. It's only a dollar. We have a lot of fun. And look, in a couple weeks, it's going to be a lot of fun at omspirit.com. We will have football wall to wall every week, every day. Yeah, join us. We'd love to have you. So big ups to Grayson. Glad you got power back, my guy.
Good to be back.
I will say also just a bit of a housekeeping note. I will be attending the 2024 personnel and recruiting symposium that is here in Nashville. So I'll be there. I'll hopefully get some stuff there. The 3 days of that event, talking to coaches. They'll have some speakers there. We'll try to cultivate some content out of that for you. But appreciate y'all tuning in. Appreciate Grayson. And as always, omspirit.com. So that'll do it for the flagship. For Grayson, I'm Zach. This has been the flagship. Till next time, we out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.